Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, taking a look at air travel today with Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com. We've got lots of things we can talk with him about today, including your trip, your next trip. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Rick Cini, welcome back.
Hey, Larry. How are you today?
Just wonderful. I have so many questions for you today. One has to do with the terrorist attacks in Brussels and wondering what kind of impact that may have on air travel or world travel, for that matter.
Yeah, it's hard to tell right away. We did do a study with our airfare data back several weeks after the Paris incident to see if prices actually went down. It was the slower season of travel. Oil prices were going down during that time. So we did see a drop of 2 or 3% in prices, which really couldn't necessarily be attributed to people changing their trips, especially to Paris, for example. So we won't really know for a little while. Now, there's a couple things that are interesting right now. The dollar is so strong in Europe. Every hotel, every dining place, every activity, all your shopping there is much less expensive. So that's a draw. That's been increasing demand this summer. So there is a travel warning out there. Basically, I call it the keep your head on a swivel warning.
Yeah.
that's out there. We've had those from time to time. We had them after Paris. So it's really hard to tell right away. But I would expect. Given, the fascination with Cuba more recently, you're also going into summer season where it's hurricane season. That's not going to bode well for Caribbean destinations that are also very warm that time of year. So I wouldn't expect it to drop much unless we continue to see this in the news cycle for the next 2 weeks.
You know, you mentioned Cuba, and our Wisconsin Public Radio has sponsored a couple of trips to Cuba. And those sponsored trips have worked really well. A lot of people have been able to visit Cuba. But with the president now in Cuba this week for a visit with his family, what is that going to mean for the rest of us hoping to maybe post individual trips to Cuba?
Basically, you will. There used to be 12 restrictions. You had to be part of a tour group, which you guys obviously put together. And there's you had to be friend of a family or, 10 degrees of separation for a family member or whatever it was. Now, the way it's going to be is that you can be considered a tour party of one, and you'll be able to buy your tickets here shortly. We had all the major airlines except for Southwest, which I expect to announce soon, travel to Cuba. Now, there is a fairly big problem. There's a lot of pent-up demand and curiosity about Cuba, but the infrastructure there can't take in several million Americans right now. They're building onto their airports, new runways, onto their cruise ports. There's ferries that are going to be coming out of South Florida. So it's going to take probably 3 or 4 years before we see what really happens with travel to Cuba.
And there's interesting problems, I guess, once you get there. I mean, the money and currency, don't they have a two-currency system or
they
something?
They do. They actually have two currencies. They have one for the locals and one for tourists, which is pegged at the dollar. It's kind of a pain right now. You also see banks jumping in there trying to figure out how to do credit cards and ATMs. A lot of them announced that they'll be trying to do that over the next 6 to 8 months. So the currency issue, it's basically an all-cash country, so your credit cards aren't that good there. But you have to remember, they do get a lot of tourism from Europe, people coming in, especially from Germany, folks from Germany. Many like to go to Cuba. They also get it from South America for the most part. It's just going to take a while. I know everybody's curious now and they'd like to go. And I want to transport myself back to the 50s, to be honest, and check out all those cars. So I definitely will be going, but I'm going to wait a little while and let them kind of figure out what's what. The flights that will be flying there will slowly ramp up to 110 flights.
Well, it's going to be really interesting, and some people are looking forward to bringing back some Cuban cigars. And
yeah, there's no doubt. Now, there's clearly some folks down in South Florida that aren't very happy about all this.
Yeah, sure.
And so, clearly their infrastructure in Cuba is not set up to have a huge amount of demand. It's only 100 nautical miles off the coast, so it's going to take a while. But I think that again, being so close, it'll be when it's all said and done, done 4 or 5 years later, if nothing else happens, it'll be a bit like a sort of a Mexican beach destination, which is much more popular usually than Caribbean nations, which are more expensive to fly to.
Yeah. Rick Zini, our guest today, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, our guest. If you have a question about travel, maybe travel to Cuba, but just travel wherever you happen to be going, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Love to hear from you. Yeah, Rick, I'm one of these people who is sort of anal about getting to the airport a couple of hours ahead for sure, at the very least. And I'd rather sit. But I have a friend who not too long ago did not make it to the plane.
I think you need to marry my wife, because we're exactly the opposite. She loves to go away early. In fact, we just were having a family spat about a connection that we're making into Europe later on this summer. She wanted to have a 5 or 6 hour connection just in case something went wrong, and I was like, yeah, no, 2 hours is plenty. So I'm sort of on the other side. I typically like to slide in at the last minute, but I do a lot of travel, and I know, for example, you never slide in on Monday morning or Friday evening or Sunday evening. You have to go early, for example. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I can slide in a little bit earlier. So every airport's different. But in general, you want to get there early. It saves a lot of hassle and a lot of comic relief, too. Sometimes I see a lot of people running around like chickens with their heads cut off in the airport.
Well, what if you do miss your flight, and it's your fault?
The absolute first thing that you have to do is contact the airline. Now, fortunately, you can't contact the airline via online, so you actually talk to a human. If you do not contact the airline and let them know, you're going to lose the entire value of your ticket.
Ouch.
So that's step number one. If you just think, oh, well, you know, I just won't take the trip and I'll go back and even though there's a $200 change fee, if you don't actually call them and let them know, they'll cancel the rest of your trip. And so that's the first thing. Getting a person on the phone, by the way, Larry, is no easy task on certain days of the week. There's not as many humans answering those phones. The airlines are working on ways to do this online. They're just not quite ready yet. And then the next thing you should do is you really need to, when you're chatting with that person, if they can't help you, then you need to find somebody that's an actual human at the airport. Now, in these particular cases, if you miss your flight, I see a lot of people running to the gate and they close the doors. Now they're in the airport. What to do next? They can't get somebody on the phone. Need to find a human. Go to another gate. Take one of the trams to another terminal where there's agents and the gates aren't as busy, for example. So you need to find that human and rebook your flight. Just remember, on all the major airlines except for Southwest, that's typically a $200 domestic change fee. And by the way, when you call to cancel, sometimes they charge a fee for that too, depending on the airline. So,
Oh man! Well, I'm kind of glad I'm one of these people who gets there early.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. I've only missed one flight, I think, in like 10 or 11 years, and it wasn't because it wasn't my fault. It was a misconnection out of there. So I've had a lot of flights canceled. I've been diverted 3 or 4 times midair for heart attacks and whatnot, but never really missed a flight.
Marilyn in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go there. Marilyn, hi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to Cabo San Lucas over the July 4th holiday weekend for a long weekend, and I'm wanting to know when I should purchase my ticket, and should I purchase it traveling from Chicago versus Milwaukee?
Yeah, so let's take a quick look. So like in July, the time frame, remember that's off season for Mexico. Now, you know, typically that time frame is a hurricane season off the coast of Florida, but since you're heading over into the Pacific, it's not as hurricane oriented during that time frame. Out of Milwaukee, in the July time frame, that typically the typical ticket price is right around $440 round trip. You want to start shopping right now for that ticket. Out of Chicago during the same time frame, that ticket usually is around $385 to $390, and it goes up even out of Chicago if you want the nonstop up into the 600s. So it's actually a little bit cheaper if you're willing to take the connecting flight on Milwaukee than to go to Chicago on the nonstop by about $150.
Okay,
So but you should be doing it right now. You're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and buy it. And Milwaukee actually is pretty much the same price for connecting flights as Chicago. But if you want the nonstops out of Chicago, they're about $200 more.
All right. There we go. Thanks, Marilyn, for calling. Catherine in Port Washington, it's your turn. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes, I would like to travel to Croatia, which is Europe's best-kept secret.
Sure, it's beautiful.
Yes, it is. Late summer, early fall.
Yeah, so typically, let me give you some general tips for all the listeners out there for traveling to Europe. And I'm going to be traveling to Europe as well this summer, so I'm going to be eating my own advice here. A couple things. First of all, you want to start shopping about 5 months ahead of time. You're close to that window right now for end of summer, not quite in that window. There's a huge price increase on June the 10th. That's a seasonal price increase for summertime. So if you depart on June the 9th, it's much cheaper than June the 10th. And then there's also a huge price drop on August 25th. That's basically when kids go back to school. In Europe, they have what's called midweek and weekend pricing. So if you actually leave on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, typically you're going to pay about $30 to $40 each way more than you will if you leave sort of midweek, say Tuesday to Tuesday or Wednesday to Wednesday or Monday to Monday. So that makes things a little bit cheaper as well. Now, getting into Croatia is complicated because it's not one of the major hub areas for the three major airlines that fly, Delta, United, American.
Yes, I know that.
And so you'll have basically one of their alliance partners. For example, American, British Airways would fly there. Delta, KLM, Air France would fly there. And United would have a variety of partners, including Lufthansa, right? So you would probably be connecting on one of those three.
Well, I was looking at a Turkish airline going into Istanbul.
Yeah, you can do that as well. In fact, there's an airline called Pegasus out of Istanbul, which is a low-cost airline. So you could actually just base your ticket out of Istanbul, take a flight there, and then switch to a low-cost airline, or you could actually then switch over to Turkish Airlines, which also flies over there as well, connecting if you want to do that as well. And it is fairly inexpensive comparatively to the U.S. airlines and their pricing as well. I've seen Turkish Airlines sometimes between 10 and 15% cheaper on certain days.
Yes, I've noticed that. What is the low price airline that you were speaking of when you get
there? It's called Pegasus.
Pegasus, okay.
Pegasus, mm-hmm. And what's so cool about Croatia?
The coastline's cool. Yeah, I'll let her tell you about it since she's obviously been there a few times.
It's beautiful.
Just absolutely beautiful, eh?
Yeah, Dubrovnik, Split, a variety of other places on that whole coastline are just, they're incredible. And they are one of the jewels over there that really not a lot of tourism goes there, and that's why it's a little more inexpensive.
That's right. That's why I want to go there before it does.
Catherine, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Taking a look at air travel today with Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. I'm Larry Mueller. Breanne Chasseau, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having some fun visiting with Rick Cini, CEO of FairCompare.com, about air travel, and wonderful to have him with us again. You can join in with questions at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. And FairCompare.com, maybe talk a little bit about FairCompare.com.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we're one of the handful of companies in the world get the raw airfare data off the airline ticket stock exchange for over 500 airlines worldwide. We're a bunch of technology geeks, and I claim that with loving care. We study this data all day long. In fact, just today we've taken in, for those technology geeks, over 6 terabytes of data that we're studying just for today alone. And we have hundreds of computers that study that information. We're trying to figure out all the stuff that I'm being asked on the radio day. What day should I go? When should I go? What time should I go? What days of the week? What price should I pay? And we've been doing this for, we'll have our 10th year anniversary party here in about, a couple years. So we've been around for quite a while. Some of it was in the early days, we were actually selling our technology to other companies before we actually started the website.
Well, it's very cool. I've used it myself, and there's a lot of good information up on that site for sure. And I know that Joe in Milwaukee has a question for you about something called Chinese Odyssey Tours. Joe, is that right?
Yeah, Chinese Odyssey Tours. I was hoping to go in September or October of this year. I was wondering about how far in advance to book flights and general information about ticket prices. And there's this group called Chinese Odyssey Tours that kind of handles the whole thing for you and ferries you around the multiple cities and stuff like that. And I didn't know if the guests had heard about that at all or not.
Sure. Well, I haven't heard of that particular one before, but I've been to China a few times. And I know there's lots of tour groups and people that specialize in China and, you know, traveling through China. It's been relatively inexpensive to get over to Asia and China. There's been a bunch of new flights to Shanghai, also to Beijing, Guangzhou, which is another place. A lot of those are related to business booming between those cities. So leisure travelers sort of are filling up the back of those planes. And the cheapest flights on those from the West Coast, I mean, I've seen crazy low prices on Air China. Actually, China has several different versions of Chinese airlines. Under $800 round trip and coach, for example, from the West Coast. If you're looking at going out of Chicago or Minneapolis, which are the two major hubs that fly over there, typically around this time of year, around $1,000 to $1,100. And as you get deeper in the summer, up to the $1,200 range. So as you're starting to book this trip, and it's an all-in trip with your hotel and all your tour packages and all that, you should shop it a la carte and also shop it with the tour package as well.
There you go. Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Scott in Eau Claire next. Hi, Scott.
Hi, gentlemen. There's eight of us looking at flying out of Minneapolis to Orlando October 21st, going back on the 27th. What should I expect to pay for tickets or look for in ticket price?
Yeah, so a couple things. If you're flying for domestic travel, you don't want to shop too early. Right now is a perfect example of shopping too early, six months early, 6.5 months early. Typically, airlines start to drop prices about 3 months before departure. So for that October trip, you'd be looking at later in the summer. One of the things that's interesting about Minneapolis to Orlando is right now the price point is pretty low on certain days of the week. They have crazy low prices on days like Thursday and Friday. Like, I see prices even right now under $200 round trip that you can buy your tickets even now. Now, if you want to go on the days everybody wants to go, it runs up a little under $300. Now, that price for days like leaving on Saturday and Sunday will actually go down from $300 to about the $250 range starting in late summer. So you got about a $40 difference if you wait, but you can go ahead and lock in. I would lock in the super cheap rates if you have some flexibility on dates.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I just got back from there. We were there last week and had some nice weather and spent a little time in Disney.
Yeah, and Frontier is the one that's actually charging these crazy low prices nonstop over there. So if you're looking at that flight, if you're still on, it would be on Frontier. All the other airlines, even including Sun Country right now, are close to $300, and Spirit Airlines has one at $302. So those prices will go down at the end of the summer. I would definitely wait.
John from Madison is traveling to Saskatchewan near the end of May, wondering about when to buy tickets and potential prices out of Madison.
Yeah, so out of Madison, I'm going to take a quick look on our site here. So that price point, first of all, you have to be shopping right now. And Madison, depending on where you're going, in certain cases, I'm not sure where.
Saskatoon.
Saskatoon is where he's going. Okay. There we go. All right. So the price points right now out of Madison. Pretty expensive. The very cheapest is in the $400 range, and the most expensive is in around the $650 range.
Ooh.
So and what time frame was he going? May.
Near the end of May?
Yeah, let's take a look in May real quick. May 17th. take a look here. Yeah, it's in the there's one stop on Delta that's in the low 400s. All the other it's in the low 300s. All the other flights are in the low 500s. So definitely Delta on a one stop connecting in Minneapolis out of Madison. That 331 is a great price. I'd go ahead and pick that one up right away.
Susan in West Allis has a question, so let's go there. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. I'm calling because there's a group of us, on, and we're in our middle age, and there's two handicapped people, and it felt to me to try to arrange a trip for us to the Grand Canyon sometime this summer. I'm not sure just when would be the better time to go and to which part, either from Colorado or Arizona. I'd appreciate any advice you might be able to give me.
Yeah, what time of the year are you going?
Well, they want to go sort of in the summer, early fall.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, yeah, so on August the 25th is the breakoff date when prices go down dramatically. This is a domestic flight, so
all
you wouldn't
right.
want to shop until early in the summertime for it. And I would recommend that time of year, you want it to do it when it's a little cooler out. So you might want to go a little bit deeper into September to take that particular trip. There are nonstops into sort of the places you would drive. If you can, I would suggest, because of you know, moving between things, it depends on how complicated that is. If you can take a nonstop, it would be better. They're fairly, that price point, if you fly out of, for example, Chicago, Minneapolis, or Milwaukee, any one of those cities, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the historical data for last year, flying into Las Vegas and to some of the Arizona cities, you would be looking at around $260 round trip. If you had flexibility, it could actually be in the low 200s, and I'd try to pick up that nonstop if I could.
Yeah, okay, that's really quite reasonable. All right, now, not having ever been there and trying to coordinate this for others, which rim is the most, you know, appealing?
Good question. I'm not a huge person that has been there several times. I've only been to the south part before, so I wouldn't be able to compare it personally to the north. So you'd have to. Here's a great place to check that out is a couple of sites. TripAdvisor would have a lot of people that review the difference between the two. You might want to do a little research there, and then I would try my social network as well and just ask the question if you have a social network account, and people will help you out there. I'm sorry, I just haven't been there enough to really give you good advice.
No, so TripAdvisor, I just go there first, Susan, and hopefully you'll get some help there. I've never been there, so.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I want to go many times. I had to actually cancel a trip where we were going to raft through there at one time because of some issues that occurred with flying. So definitely on my bucket list to do some cooler stuff in the Grand Canyon when I get some more time.
Wally in Monona has something for us. Hi, Wally.
Hi, good morning. Question. I travel to Hawaii every winter, but I find the long flights less and less pleasant. So I'm looking for a city to the west as a stopover so I could fly nonstop from Madison to that city and then stay the night and perhaps check out the city the following day, and then a nonstop flight from that city to Hawaii. So my question is, do you have a city to recommend to the west that I could use as a stopover?
Sure. Well, there's several of them that have nonstops into Honolulu and some even into Kauai and in onto Maui as well, depending on which island you're going to.
The main one.
So, yeah, so you're going to be going to Oahu then. Yeah, so that's Honolulu. So if you're flying to Honolulu, and I like that idea too. I do that when I go to Asia. I stop actually in California and overnight there because the trip is so long, even longer than going to Hawaii. So you have San Diego on the south coast. You have Hawaiian Air flying out of there as well as all the other airlines. You also have L.A., which is fairly inexpensive, and also you have San Francisco. And more recently, Delta has been flying some trips, and so has Alaska. Out of Seattle, also into Hawaii that have been inexpensive. So depending on what time of year, if Seattle is a great stopover too to hang out at, I've actually stopped in all four of those and taken trips over to Asia on a variety of airlines, and Hawaii would be the same. There's also some flights to Hawaii out of some airports you wouldn't expect, I think there's one out of Long Beach. They're just south of Los Angeles on one of the airlines. So you might want to check that out as well, depending on where where you want to go, because the prices vary wildly out of the West Coast. Sure. I've seen them as low as $300 and as high as $600.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you so much for the information. I
sure.
would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Christine emailed us with questions about traveling to Puerto Rico in January of 2017. What is the typical airfare to Puerto Rico in January? Is Southwest likely going to offer the cheapest option when should she buy tickets? Unfortunately, she doesn't tell me where she's located, but I'm guessing it'd be Madison or Milwaukee.
Sure. Well, Puerto Rico has had a huge change over the last 7 or 8 years. It was completely dominated by American Airlines, and they basically have ceded, especially San Juan, out of Puerto Rico to JetBlue, who is the major carrier now into Puerto Rico. Typically, that time frame. Now, I can tell you, the price is wildly different the first week in January, because that's part of quote-unquote Christmas pricing, than the last 3 weeks in January. So if you can go in the last 3 weeks, it starts a bit of off-season there.
Yep.
It is fairly inexpensive compared to other Caribbean destinations, for example, St. Thomas, St. Croix, that are basically U.S. territories. Now, it's also much cheaper than other ones like Nevis and Bahamas and a variety of other ones that are down there, too. So it's fairly inexpensive, depending on when you're flying out of it. It would be much cheaper out of either Minneapolis or Chicago. The connecting through Madison, for example, or out of Milwaukee would add anywhere from another $30 to $80, depending on which day.
Okay. There we go. We'll turn to Linda in Green Bay next. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Well, my husband and I are planning on going to Australia next January. And we're wondering when we should look for tickets, what day of the week would be the best to travel on, and what kind of money we have to expect to spend for a ticket.
You'd be flying out of where? Milwaukee to begin with, or Chicago?
Chicago.
Chicago.
Right. So, you know, ticket prices from Chicago to Sydney would average in a range, I'm looking at our historical data right here, would average somewhere between... in some cases in the low 1300s all the way up to 1700, depending on which time you're going. For example, because you're going in December, there's a huge increase in price.
I think January.
January.
Oh, yeah. So there's a huge increase in December, but it drops down on January the 10th. So that big price increase drops down by about over $500 drop from early December to January 15th.
Okay.
So somewhere after January 15th would be perfect. You want to start shopping about late summer, early fall for that ticket.
Okay.
Now, that again, this is one of those trips where you're going across the Pacific and it's a very long flight.
Yes.
You can find deals out of, for example, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, in the range. You know, I've seen them as low as $900 during that time frame. You have Air New Zealand that you have a chance to fly on, for example. You also have a variety of other airlines like Philippine Airlines that flies through there as well out of the West Coast. So if you want to break up your trip and take one of those airlines, you would then take a low-cost airline or somebody out to the West Coast, which would be somewhere between $200 and $300, and save yourself $200 or $300. And overnighting in Los Angeles or one of those cities in preparation for the long, huge, long trip that you're about to take, it's going to take at least a day almost,
right.
is worthwhile to do. And I do that almost every time when I go to Asia.
Oh, okay. And is there such a thing as an open-ended ticket if we aren't sure when we want to come back?
They do have refundable tickets. They're very, very expensive. The one thing you might want to check into is what they call a round-the-world ticket. Sometimes it'll be called RTW, which is Round the World. The alliances, including SkyTeam, One World, and Star Alliance, those are the three alliances. They offer those kind of tickets where you can take up to 5 or 6 stops and sort of hang out.
Okay.
And in those cases, but if you want something where it's completely open-ended, almost every one of the cheap tickets is non-refundable with a humongous change fee of anywhere from $300 to $400.
Oh.
So you don't want to buy those tickets and then decide to change your dates.
No.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Good luck, Linda. Thank you so much for calling. And Peter in New Holstein next with a question. Hi, Peter.
Hello. My wife and I are planning a trip to South Africa to visit her brother who lives there. And I've always wanted to go to New Zealand, and you just touched on the round-the-world ticket. We need to get to Port Elizabeth in South Africa, and then from there it's just... No rush because we're both retiring this year.
Well, that's you're perfect for a round the world ticket for that kind of trip. I feel, Larry, like I'm taking a geography lesson today. Luckily, I'm pretty familiar with these things. I agree with you in this particular case. They have two variations of the round the world ticket. They also have what's called Visit the Pacific tickets as well, which is Visit the Pacific Rim, which includes Australia and the Asian countries as well, if that's where you're going, where you can take up to, anywhere from 4 to 8 stops around there and sort of be as leisurely as you want. They have a coach version and they have a business class version as well. It's way cheaper to do the round the world ticket than it is to try to piece together your trip, unless you're really good at piecing together a trip. Do it cheaper, if you find low cost airlines, if you pick your dates, if you're willing not to have your luggage checked, in some sort of ways, if you're going for a long time, you're going to be taking probably checked luggage, which makes it easier when you stay with an alliance group, for example. So, definitely I would look into that. You have to look on those websites, Starlines. Now, there are travel agents that specialize in round-the-world tickets as well.
Is there a time of year that is best to go? We're gonna be free after August.
Yeah, I mean, I personally like to go to those particular destinations when it's not the heat of the summer or the busiest season of summer. So right on the fringes of those where, you know, depending on what part of the globe you're on, it may be opposite. So if you're going to Australia, you want to go there when it's sort of the spring or early fall there. So it'd be the opposite dates around the world. So that's when I personally like to go. For example, going to Europe, my favorite time is sort of late September, early October.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Sounds like a wonderful trip. Lisa and
yeah,
Matt.
I'm ready. I'm getting ready to go. I'm like, I need to retire.
he's got the right idea. Lisa and Madison up next. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, me and my family want to go to Washington, D.C. in the first part of August.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering when the best time to look for tickets would be and what price I might expect.
Sure. So what city are you flying out of?
Well, we're flexible. We could fly out of Madison, Milwaukee, or Minneapolis.
Sure. Well, out of Milwaukee, ticket prices, or even right now for that time frame, which time frame was it again?
August, yeah.
August 6th to the 13th.
Right. So the tickets right now are just under $300 round trip. That's not a terrible price out of Milwaukee. If you look out of Minneapolis, for example, you have $87 on Spirit Airlines, which is way below the other folks that are there. But I see tickets in the range of, let's see here, one second. Okay. So the tickets they're about 10% cheaper right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things that you might want to check into is right now it's $200 really. And it's nonstops on Delta for that time frame. I'd go ahead and lock in on that Delta nonstop. There's one at 200, one at 220 and one at 223 right now.
And that's out of Milwaukee?
That's out of Minneapolis. Let me try Milwaukee real quick. And out of Milwaukee, it's running in the high 200s. Now, normally I wouldn't recommend that you start to shop for those until sort of late May timeframe for that particular time of year. But when it gets to this price point where you're really only going to save $20 or $30 when it starts to drop, and it could go higher depending on what happens with fuel prices in the next 4 or 5 months, I'd go ahead and lock in.
There we go.
Well, because I looked on Delta yesterday, and the lowest price was like $316 round trip. So, every day's a new ball game in terms of.
The prices changed dramatically. I'm looking right now for that early August time frame. I see prices ranging from $270 to $345 right now.
There we go.
For a 7-day trip.
So good luck, and thanks, Lisa, for calling. Diane in Wapaka called, her son's studying in Buenos Aires this fall. Classes start in September. What could they expect to pay for a ticket, and when should they buy that ticket?
Did she say what city she was flying out of?
She's in Waupaca, so I'm guessing they could fly out of Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah. So, and what time frame?
Classes start in September, so September, I'm guessing late August.
Yeah, so let's take a quick look at late August here real quick. So late August, the price point is right now, if you were to buy that ticket in coach, around $1,300 round trip.
Okay.
Out of Milwaukee, it's a running about 15% cheaper if you fly out of Minneapolis and Chicago. So you're paying a little bit of a premium for basically connecting out of Milwaukee. Almost all those trips into South America are going to connect through either Chicago, Minneapolis, Dallas, or Houston.
There we go. Gary and Malone, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. Where are you headed?
We are going on an Alaska cruise the middle of June, and we are flying into Anchorage and returning from Vancouver. What we're seeing in terms of prices is kind of scary, $1,200, $1,300 round trip. And just wondering if there's a better time to buy, if there's another way to go.
Yeah, what city are you flying out of?
Actually, we'd like to fly out of Milwaukee or Appleton or Green Bay, any of those.
Yeah, so Milwaukee to Anchorage, and the time frame again, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the time frame.
June 20th.
In basically mid to late June, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So I see some round-trip tickets. So here's a couple of things. When you're buying tickets, what's called a multi-city ticket, which basically means you're flying into one city and then returning from another city that's a significant distance away, not like flying into LaGuardia or coming back from JFK or something like that.
Right.
You're buying a multi-city trip. So the way those things are priced is what's called half round-trip pricing. And when you see $1,000 or $1,200, it's because the system that you're looking at is having trouble pricing it. Because the round trips right now from Milwaukee to Anchorage are in the sort of $600 range round trip. So coming back from Vancouver, you're also getting sort of a Canadian premium as well because the taxes are a little bit more expensive there. But you should be able to find that ticket for under $750 round trip if you're doing it in a particular way. I know you have to be there. Do you have to be there the day before? Do you feel comfortable flying the day before, or you want to go actually a few days earlier?
Well, the cruise doesn't start until the 21st, so we were going in on the 20th. Going a day early.
The day before, yeah. And so right now, this is about the time you should be shopping. I would expect that ticket price to go down for multi-city over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know which site you're using. On our site, we actually don't have a shopping request for multi-city, but some of the better ones include Expedia, Orbitz, and Travelocity are both Expedia now, so I would check that one out as well, and also check out Kayak as well.
All right.
There we go. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And, Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And you'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
Ah, sure. This is, I think somebody wrote it down for me. I think this is the 17th time.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Okay, great. And I'm going to learn more about the Grand Canyon for that one caller.
All right, great. Rick Cini. Take a look at his site, the CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com, and he comes by about once a month to talk with us about travel, and it's always a lot of fun.